on Daf Yud Aleph, in Rav Kook's explanation on the Agadot of Masechet Shabbat, the Gemara explains as follows, page 20 in the top. V'amarava bar Machsia, amarav chama bar Gurya, amarav, tachat Yishmael velo tachat Akum, or tachat Edom apparently is the Girsa. Better to be under an Arab rather than under a Christian. Tachat Akum velo tachat Chaver. Better to be under the rule of a Christian rather than under the rule of a Chaver. Rashi explains what is Chaver. It's not talking about, sometimes Chaver means a learned person. Uma mibnei Parsim. It's talking about one of the Persian people. They're called the Chaver. And as we'll see, they're a wild bunch. Tachat chaver velo tachat tamid chacham. As if we're rating who a person should be under their order, even worse than an Arab, even worse than a Christian, even worse than a Persian, is to be under, to have to serve a tamid chacham. Very interesting. Tachat tamid chacham velo tachat yatom va'almana. But the worst of all is to have to serve a orphan and a widow. And Rashi explains, Talmid Chacham, im yaknitenu ya'anishenu. The problem with when a person serves a Talmid Chacham, a scholar, a rabbi, is that if he curses you, if he's upset with you and he curses you, then you'll be seriously punished. V'chen yatom ve'almana. And even more so, regarding a widow and an orphan, because they cry very easily. And Chazal tell us that when they cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's actually a pasuk regarding Yatom, also Almana, that when they cry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. In other words, you have to be careful before you me'aneh, before you, le'anot.
Cause grief
before you cause suffering to a widow or to an orphan or to a Talmid Chacham, a scholar. Okay, here we have a couple of short piskaot. We'll see how much we cover. Piska Kav Zayin. Tachat Yishmael velo tachat Edomi. Better to be under the rule. Right, to be under a foreign rule, to be in exile, to be subservient to the non-Jews, that is the definition of galut. As the Rambam writes in Hilchot Tshuva and Hilchot Malachim, that the definition of Yemot HaMashiach, the definition of the Messianic era, is that when we have sovereign rule, our own independent rule. But even when we're under foreign rule, the Gemara is telling us that some foreign rules are worse than others. Okay, again, better to be under the Arabs rather than under the Edomi is literally the Romans, but it's used in rabbinic literature to symbolize the Christians. Mishet zarech lasur l'mishmat ish bal ta'avot shfelot. Somebody who has to serve, who is subservient to someone who has a deviance regarding his behavior, right? Apparently, we're talking about some kind of a sexual deviance. He kasha ma'od.
How do you know that?
And that's what usually the tavot are referring to, and but as we'll see from the future. But any kind of physical desire, rabbinical literature, the yetzer is the sex desire. But we'll see. He kasha ma'od. Ki ein la aruch shrirut lev shel ish mitmacher letavat nafsho. Somebody who serves his physical desires, he has these whims, and he's unpredictable. And that's why it's very difficult to live with him. By the way, historically we know that the Jews under the Christian rule always suffered more than they did under the Islamic rule. Islamic rule was terrible. And they had all these taxes, and I remember the Kharaj, that's the famous example, that Jews had to pay a special tax, where not only did they have to pay a lot of money, but they also had to undergo a dehumanizing and embarrassing ceremony where they had to say three times, even if they were willing, they came to pay the tax, but the Muslim lord would say, you must pay me the kharaj, you must pay me the tax. And the Jew said, I will pay you the kharaj. And then the Muslim would say, you must pay me the kharaj. And the Jew would say, yes, I will pay you the kharaj. And a third time, he shakes him, you must pay me the kharaj. And in other words, the whole idea was to put the Jew down. On the other hand, in terms of murder and pogroms, crusades, the Jews always suffered under the Christians more than under the Muslims. Okay?
So why did more Jews live under Christian rule than under Muslim rule?
Yeah, that's a good historical question. No way.
Why
in Europe.
Did Jews live in Poland for 800 years?
A lot of times they didn't have too much choice. It takes a certain amount of initiative to be able to get up and move your family. And like we see today, the Jews in Persia or the Jews in America or Jews in South Africa, right? Even when things were terrible, there are certain people who have that get up and go and certain people who don't. And they'd rather suffer the known rather than the fear of the unknown, right? Or try something that they don't know. That's my educated guess. Again, Mishat Sarek Lesur Lemishmat Ish Bal Tavot Shfeilot Hi Kashem Od. That's very difficult to be under the sovereignty of someone who serves his desires. Ki En La Rof Shirut Lev Shel Ish Mit Makir Le Tavot Nafsho. Right? You don't know when he's going to go crazy, when he's going to have a certain kriza. But even worse than that is somebody who is simply cruel. Somebody who's maybe his priorities are off, or somebody who has a certain lust. That's bad enough. But somebody who's vicious, that is a lot worse. Yishmaelim hem shtufei zima. Here Rav Kook is basing his explanation on different places in rabbinic literature that the Yishmaelim, their culture, is based on Shtufei Zima. They have this Zima, is sexual misconduct. Me'asara kabim Zima tish'a natla aravya. If there are 10 portions of Zima, 9 of them were taken by Arabia. Al kein midoteim nishchatot, v'anatun tachtam yizbol harbe. And therefore, you have to be careful before you decide to get into such a problem. By the way, anybody who works with women and in terms of advising them regarding marriage, this is one of the topics that sometimes comes up, often in a boyfriend girlfriend relationship. Sometimes it gets on the verge or even passes the halachic red lines of the physical contact. Sometimes when a man has difficulty controlling his sexual urge, that sometimes is a red light or a yellow light, a question mark regarding either his religiosity or the way he views the woman. Or just his priorities, how he controls himself in other matters as well. But even worse than that is if he has a vicious streak. And today in the Olpanot, I think they make the rounds in a systematic way to talk about domestic violence. What are the warning signs of a man who has a tendency to be violent? To be able, even when the boy and girl are just going out, what are the warning signals to look for? And that's something that Rav Kook is not only talking about under who, to under which exile is better or worse, but also which type of warning system in choosing a spouse is that much more problematic. Mikomakon garua mize hanatun tachat edom. And that's why, to be under the Christian rule, Ha'umashe mitshe matanata hi acheriv. right? Al Charbecha Tichye. Esav was given that bracha, that he has that violent side to him. Esav was Yadayim Yidei Esav, the physical strength. I mentioned before that when my father was on the wrestling team, and when he would come with his wrestling jacket to shiur, the Rebbe would say, Hayadayim Yidei Esav, right? The physical strength is something that belongs to Esav. That's a Christian trait. V'dam v'retzach hu mibchirei ta'anugeha. Unfortunately, blood and murder are among their pleasures. Ironically, what type of person accuses the Jew of putting blood in his matzah? It's somebody who's projecting upon others the viciousness which they have in themselves.
Yeah, we see the air of propaganda today all the time, what they're saying about us.
Yeah, the Arabs aren't angels either. Al ken tachat Yishmael velo tachat Edomi. Okay. Kafchet. Next paragraph. In a continuation of the Gemara. Tachat Edomi velo tachat Chaver. Again, Chaver, Rashi explains, is this group from Persia. Rav Kook explains. Gama ish hara shilaman avat bitzo. In ma'atzor lefanav gam la'ra lezulato bira'ot ha'yoter gdolot. Even somebody, an individual or a nation, who is violent, who has that violent streak in them, as we said, that's a terrible trait. And it's terrible to be married to them. It's terrible to have a boss like that. Right? Anybody who knows a boss who just gets angry and flies off the handle at every small thing, it's just not pleasant to work there. Or to be under that type of sovereign, that type subjected to that type of leader. Mikom akom, kol zman sheyesh lepulotav seder umatara tachlitit, yuchal hanatun tachtav lechaven lerucho. But as long as his violent streak has some kind of order, right? Maybe by Yom Chamishi, Yom Shishi, towards the end of the week, the boss is always edgy. At least you know that if you need to ask him for a raise or you want to talk with him about a certain project, so you can talk with him at the beginning of the week. At the end of the week, no. The beginning of the week, yes.
The warning signs before somebody blows up.
Yeah, there is some kind of say there, right? He may get angry on hot days or cold days. He may be angry when it comes to money. Right, somebody who's married to a spouse who gets angry over money, you know that on that certain topic, okay, beware, okay.
One of the problems with abusive spouse, and that's true about dictators and all kinds of things too, is that you try to be good, and it turns out that you really don't know because those kind of things. There are surprises.
Okay, that's the next point. In other words, if a person not only is violent, but is surprisingly violent, in other words, he has this streak that just, he's unpredictable, that is that much worse. In other words, if somebody's a yeke, and, you know, he has these certain fixations that he's very, very careful, you know, don't touch my car. Okay, so you don't touch his car and, you know, Shalom al Yisrael. But omnam, garua mizeh, a lot worse, hu mishe netiyato hi rak lashchit ulechabel belo matara tachlitit letoelet atzmo. Somebody who's just wild and without a purpose, right? Again, if there is some kind of general order, like you know, even in the German people, right? The Germans could be terrible people, but at least to a certain extent, they're predictable. This chaver group, who are totally unpredictable, is that much more dangerous and that much more less pleasant to be under their rule.
Could it be that in that as opposed to Yishmael and Edom, who have both been received the biblical culture in derivative fashion, they at least have some kind of some kind of humane moderation, there's such a thing as charity, there's such a thing as mercy, and then there are people who don't who don't even know what it is.
That's an interesting point, because the Chaver people, well, again, they have nothing to do with Avram Avinu. They don't. Okay, interesting. Okay, and then Vehim Chavarim she'amru aleihem ba'asara yuchsin. Chazal say in Masechet Kiddushin about this group of Persian people, Harini Chavarin domin limalachei Chabala. This group of the Chabarin people, they're like Malachei Chabala, like the angels of destruction. Muchanim la'ashchata vehefsed ben tachlit. They're totally violent without any gain. Right. You know, when growing up in New York, you come across a lot of different types of violent people. And one of the differentiations, and nobody here is from New York, one of the differentiations is between somebody who mugs you. Okay, he mugs you, he wants your money, maybe he has a fix, maybe, you know, he needs money, maybe he is hungry. As opposed to a second group of people, without getting into generalizations, New Yorkers know who we're talking about, that just want to beat up for the sake of beating up. They're just violent people. They don't want your money, because they won't even ask you for your money. But they're just violent. Something like that, that's even worse, right? Because you can't even understand their motive. The same thing again with a violent spouse. If it's a spouse who has some kind of sex hang-ups, okay, that's a certain problem. If it's a spouse, again, in the second type that Rav Kook mentions, somebody who is sometimes violent, okay, so you learn how to deal with it. But this third group who's just violent on a whim, you really is that much worse. They don't even gain anything from it. Like we mentioned once, the Chavetz Chaim, he asks in Shmirat HaLashon, why do people gossip? What do they gain from it? And then he gets into the idea, people, you know, if you put somebody down, so it makes you feel better about yourself. But it's a good question. At least for every Yetzer, for every kind of evil inclination, you should gain something from it, but the idea of just being blood hungry for the sake of blood hungry without getting anything. The Christians, for example, when they killed Jews, at least they did it in the name of a cause. That's bad. It's evil. But at least there was some way you could figure them out, okay? There's some violent people, you can't even track them down. Ze ha'avel hu yoter kaved mi'arishon. And that's why this type of violent person, a disorderly and unpredictable violent, is that much worse. Al ken tachet edomi. Even though we said it's bad to be under Christian rule, shemikom makom yesh tachlit lema'avaya, but at least they have some kind of motive, right? You can understand them. You can sometimes, you know, lay your head low and let it blow over. Velo tachet chaver adome lemalach chabala be'en teuda tachlitit. Who can manage with such a crazy, destructive drive? Kaftet. Tachat chaver velo tachat tamid chacham. To be subjected to a tamid chacham is even worse. Now, it's very probable that the rabbis, like in many times in the Agadita, they exaggerate a little, but the point here is very, very clear, that it's sometimes Talmidei Chachamim, scholars, are hard to get along with, and are even harder to be under their control. If we use the examples that we've given before, sometimes it's difficult to be married to a rabbi, sometimes it's difficult to be married to a genius.
They're very exacting in a way that's beyond the way that the ordinary person is calibrated. So you don't even know, you don't even understand what the distinction is because it's above you.
Yeah. We'll see where Rav Kook goes with this. Ha'isha benoni ha'pashut, the average person. Umnam gam yashar betivo, he is naturally good, like we've learned before, Rav Kook stresses the goodness and the healthiness of nature. Regular person, children, even the uneducated, are basically good. Lo yuchal laredet lesof da'at chefetz shel anashim shenatu mi'ateva yashar ayodei kilkuleihem hamusarim. Normal people have difficulty understanding and relating, and how much more so being subjected to people who are morally bad, like in the previous cases that we mentioned, the violent, the different types of bad people. Al kein rama odhu matzava kavush tachad echad mi ele. It's really bad to be under the Christians or the Muslims or the Chabarim. Shepanu miderech ha'adam ha'yashar ha'tivi, who because of their violent streak have lost their basic good, godly nature, that basic musar that most people have, what's called in Yiddish a menschlichkeit. A normal person is a mensch. Bishriut lev, o be'achzariut, o be'chefetz hashchata. As we saw, the three different types of people, that there are some people who are just a little wild, or violent, or destructive. Kitshukoteihem rechokot me'od miteva isha yashar. Those destructive and violent desires are abnormal for normal people. And that's why it's not good to be married to such people. Definitely not good to be subjected to them. Don't work for them. If you can choose a boss, don't choose those type of bosses. Al kein lo yuchal b'shum ofen latzeh yidei chova negdam b'yoto tachat yadam. You can't fulfill their desires. You can't satisfy them because they have these whims, which are out of the ordinary. Umnam, kasher ha'ish ha'yashar hu rachok miredet lesov da'atam shel anshei resha. Like we said, just like it's difficult, if it's difficult for a normal, straight, basically good person to understand the evil of the violent or those type that we mentioned, ken od yoter v'yoter hu rachok, but it's even more difficult b'yoto ish tivi pashut, for a natural, average person, merigshe lev hadakim shel ish chacham lev, to be able to understand the delicate, exact feelings of the intellect, of the genius, right? Obviously, without getting into examples, there are a lot of examples of famous rabbis who were
idiosyncratic,
were very hard to get along with. Anybody who learned in any yeshiva, every yeshiva that I ever was in, there was always at least one or two rabbanim, and very often it went with the more genius of them, right? That they just have no savlanut, no patience for mediocrity. Again, without getting into names, very famous rabbanim, if you didn't prepare the Gemara in their shiur, you didn't prepare the homework, you didn't understand the Tosfot's question, right? They just didn't have patience for mediocrity. And you have to be very strong to be able to take criticism. And if we gave the example before of a woman choosing a husband, if a woman is very sensitive, and women have a tendency to be sensitive, you got to know, if you're choosing an idealistic husband, there is a very fine line between idealism and hakpada. How would you say? To get angry, to be over-exacting regarding sometimes even minute details.
Pedantic.
And by the way, here, let's give them credit that there's always logic behind the thing that they're pedantic about. Okay? If, the table isn't set on Shabbat when you come home. Okay. Right? There is a makor, there's a source for it. But don't overdo it. Right? Maybe there's a reason.
But sometimes it's so subtle that the person, that the ordinary person doesn't understand it, and that's how you get in trouble.
Yeah. Shekol yisho chefzo umayanav hurak betorah vechokma. Here Rav Kook is explicit. He's not only talking about Einsteins, who have a tendency to be a little idiosyncratic. Also Torah scholars, together with their genius, very often are hard to live with. Al ken, yoter mima shelo yuchal latzeit yedei chova neged hamushchatim, mipnei shelo yada betumo et erech tviyotehem. Even more than like we said before, that it's difficult to satisfy the corrupt or the vicious because you can't understand exactly what they're getting at. Ken yoter mize, even more, lo yuchal l'argish otan advarim shel tamid chacham biyoto meshutet berigshei kodesh. Somebody who is flying and dreaming in higher worlds. Rav Kook has a piska in Midot HaRiyah where he talks about Ritcha de Oraita. Also in Masachet Brachot. Ritcha de Oraita is it's a term also, Tzur v'drabanan, Rav Kook mentions there. The burning young scholars who are burning with Torah, and anybody who goes into a yeshiva in Aida Chavruta, fantastic Chavruta. We weren't together for about 3 years. And one of the guys who sat near us in the yeshiva said to us once, you know what's special about your Chavruta? Says, in most Chavrutot, there's one who yells and the other who asks. In your Chavruta, you both have such loud voices. And you're both so opinionated. And that makes for a good chavruta, but it's not always easy to live with somebody like that, right? And anybody who goes into a yeshiva knows that very often the sharpest guys are the most opinionated.
When Rav Menachem Liebman Zatzal was in the Hidra with Rav Gorin Zatzal, he was the only one who dared to argue with Rav Gorin, and that was apparently a World War III there.
Yeah, there are a couple of aspects to this. First of all, something as simple as Bitul Torah. Right? Somebody who's a Talmid Chacham, and he's careful not to waste time, which is a very positive midah. On the other hand, it is difficult to be married to someone like that. And here, you have to, Rav Kook is obviously addressing, who's learning this? It is the Talmid Chacham, who is supposed to learn from here the Musar, yes, be intellectual, be sharp. If you have good reason, even maybe be opinionated, but be reasonable. Don't lose normalcy. There's a basic normal. I forget how you say it in Yiddish. What they say about somebody, he's normal, right? Even though he's a Talmid Chacham, he's normal. Right. Another example of our different drishot, chumrot, right? It could be a certain exacting demands regarding kashrut, or regarding even certain things which may be technically be allowed halachically, but if you're married to somebody who always wants everything mahadrin mina mahadrin, and you want to set up his Chanukiah, and it's not exactly according to the Chazon Ish's Shita or something like that. Again, it's hard to get along with those people. Rav Kook is not saying don't marry them. What he is, again, he's addressing the Talmidei Chachamim. Don't be one of those people who it's hard to get along with. In addition, I wanted to bring for you, there's something that we learned 2 years ago, which I brought, but being we're running a little late, I thought of reading something which is like a parallel source, but we didn't read it 2 years ago. It's from Shmona Kvatzim, Rav Kook's notebooks. In the first one, Siman Taf Samach Gimel, Ha'anashim Hativiim She'inam Melumadim, natural people who are not intellectual, they have not learned. Yesh lem yitarun barbei dvarim. They have a lot of advantages al hamelumadim, above those who are learned. Beze shiloni tashtesh etzla masechel ativi v'amusar ha'atzmi. These are the exact two character traits that Rav Kook mentions in Orot HaKodesh that we learned 2 years ago. Normal people have a basic morality, and also have a basic religiosity. You go into Machane Yehuda, the average person maybe he doesn't put on tefillin on Rabbeinu Tam, but his emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is probably even more deep than a lot of Rabbanim who finish us. The same thing with their with Musar. This is something which we saw after Retzach Rabin, after the assassination of Rosh HaMemshalah, where you found certain idealistic people, dafka intellectuals, who because of their hate for the ideas which Yitzhak Rabin stood for, they maybe even condoned the assassination. Whereas if you would go out into the street, and I'm not talking at all about the tikshoret and the leftists and the press, you know, who no matter what the issue is, they'll always be anti-religious and always anti the right. But the people in Machane Yehuda recoiled from the idea of a Jew killing a fellow Jew. And that's something which is healthy. And that's why sometimes you have to be, and again, I don't want to get off the topic, but Yigal Amir was an intellectual. He's a smart boy. I happen to have taught his sister, very intelligent. I heard from other people, he was studying law, learned in Keren Biavne. Davka, because of his idealism, he did certain things that the average person would not do. And he thought that he had to mitgaber, he had to overcome what Rav Kook calls the natural goodness, right? That normal people just won't do. Normal people don't do extreme acts. Now, does that mean not to be idealistic? Does that mean not to be intellectual? For sure not. Anybody who's learned the writings of Rav Kook knows that Chochmah is at the very top of just about all of the rabbis and all of the books and all the Sfarim in rabbinic literature. On the other hand, there is one point where Rav Nachman Mibreslev comes out with the problem sometimes of learning too much, that you become crooked, what's called in Yiddish krumkeit, that you lose your basic menschlichkeit, your basic, I might have told the story once, that I had problems with my ear. I went to a ear, nose, and throat doctor, and I was there in the waiting room. And this Yerushalmi yeshiva boy, 18-year-old boy, comes in, and he doesn't want to talk to the secretary, but he wants to go into the doctor. So he says to me, I'm just sitting outside learning Mishnah, minding my own business, Efo Arufe? So, but without answering, the secretary says, you have to sign up by me. What Kupat Cholim are you from? So he stops for a minute. And he says, I don't talk to women. So she says, in a typical Israeli fashion, you don't want to talk to me, you won't go in to see the doctor. So he has to think for a minute. He takes his chair, the chair which was by the secretary, turns it around, sits with his back towards the secretary, and says, Kuevli Ozen, my ear hurts me. And it was just such terrible behavior. Now, I have no doubt that he thought that he was supposed to, in the name of tzniut, or overcome his natural goodness. The Haredim have the exact same natural goodness as everyone else. But he lost his menschlichkeit because of some kind of intellectual krumkeit that a normal person on the street, he doesn't have that problem. And the Vilna Gaon, in Sefer Ma'alot HaMidot, his brother has a Sefer, and he brings in the name of his brother, the Vilna Gaon, as a classic example of a Ha'achshel, right? The brother of, everyone calls him the brother of the Vilna Gaon. He brings in the name of his brother, that the Torah on the Pasuk, Tizal Katal Imrati, Kesirim Alidesh, V'chirvim Aliyesev, that the Torah is likened to rain and to dew. And the Vilna Gaon explains why. Because the Torah helps you grow. But in most cases, the Torah will grow weeds. In other words, the Torah helps you get the most out of yourself. But if you're not careful, it may bring out negative aspects that a person stam off the street, a normal person, will never get to that absurd behavior. Again, here, Rav Kook in Orot HaKodesh, page Shin Samech Dalet, he's not talking specifically about Rabbanim. He's talking about all intellectuals. And again, anybody who's been in the academic world knows that the greater a professor is, the more opinionated he is, the more obstinate he is usually, and the more difficult it is to ask or to obnoxious sometimes.
Maybe Talmid Chacham would be not as bad because he at least has the parameters of halacha, and that there are things, you know.
Correct.
Maybe he learns Musr a little bit or something.
Right, so here there's obviously also a big difference. The example that I brought of a young yeshiva boy who hasn't learned enough to know what is accepted and what's not accepted.
A little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Exactly. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And again, Rav Kook is definitely not saying don't learn. But he is saying, and that's the beauty of Rav Kook. You have to learn everything, and it really talks about everything. If you would put this in the context of everything else, the main drive is yes, learn. Right? Talmud Torah keneged kulam. The seichel is the king, as like the Kuzari writes. On the other hand, you have to learn this piska.
Most of us won't live long enough to learn everything.
Anybody who's listening to this year has already learned about the importance of learning Torah. So I imagine that you won't fly off the hook by taking this out of the context. But I think the point is an important point. In summary, intellectual people, because of their intellect, can sometimes make terrible mistakes regarding emunah and regarding musar that normal people don't make. Okay. Yoter mima shelo yuchal latzei yedei chova neged amushchatim mipnei shelo yeda betumo et erech tviyotayhem. Ken yoter mize lo yuchal largish otan advarim shetamid chacham. And he's flying in these celestial heavens. Sometimes he loses contact with what's going on in the world. What he might demand for those who are under his thumb, under his command, limalot v'sidrei chayav. And again, it's difficult to be married to someone like that, and it's difficult to be subjected to that. Al ken, yoter mima shelo yuchal latzei yedei chova neged amushchatim, mimnei shenafsho lo ushchata lavo lakarat midotehem. A normal person who is not corrupt and is not violent is going to have problems getting along with somebody because he's on a different wavelength than the corrupted people. Ken yoter mize, but even more so, lo yuchal latzei yedei chova neged talmid chacham, mimnei shelo yuchal klal lishaer helech nafsho v'rigshei levavo. He's also on a totally different wavelength from this scholar. Kim yishalotav yistaru lefi midat nafsho agdola hameshotetet b'chikreim kedea. He is rising to the heights and delving into the depths, and his dynamism is so dynamic that is difficult to follow, difficult to live with. Al ken tachat chaver v'lo tachat talmid chacham. To summarize in general, it is good to be a Talmid Chacham, and it is good to want to litaken olam b'malchut shaddai, not to accept the world as status quo, to want to change it, to have the idealism and the intelligence to want to make those changes. On the other hand, be careful not to lose normalcy. Okay?
So the other, the Dom and the Ishmael and the Chaver, they don't have an opportunity to realize what they're doing. It's a charut etzlam, and that's what they're going to be, so you have to beware of them. But when it comes to Talmid Chacham, if Rav Kook's talking to a Talmid Chacham, be aware that don't be like the others, how are we supposed to know that not good to be tachat his rule?
Okay, well, that's what he says, but the truth is, again, Rav Kook is not addressing the Yishmaeli or the Edomi. Exactly. He's addressing the Jew subjected to him. On the other hand, it may also be addressing not only the Talmid Chacham, like we said, obviously that is part of the Matara here, but also in terms of when a yeshiva boy is choosing a yeshiva, when you're choosing Aseh Lecha Rav, right? Don't choose one of those type of rabbanim, even though he might be the greatest of intellectual powers.
Learn is safer, but don't be in his shir.
Maybe. There's an interesting piska I wrote where Rav Kook writes that nobody's perfect. But the problem is that the students of Rebbe's take the negative trait that their Rebbe has and they amplify it and they make it even worse. And you really do have to choose. But when choosing a Rav, you have to take that into these
this
type of things
the
into account.
That if you don't see your students in perspective, so it can be worse than even
correct.
But what about
correct? In other words, again, we're also Rav Kook is clearly addressing the Chachamim, but he's also addressing the students, and I think also addressing the women who want to marry them.
But what about Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam? I mean,
that we spoke about. That's in Olatria. We learned that 2 years ago.